Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Committee on Workforce and Business Development, Finance and Policy to order. Members and the public, please mute your mics. This remote hearing is conducted pursuant to Rule 10.01. This remote hearing can be viewed at the House television webcast. With that, the Committee Legislative Assistant, Mr. Chavez, will now take the role.
Chair Noor.
Present.
Chair Noor, present. Vice Chair Jay Shung is excused. Lead Hamilton.
Present.
Lead Hamilton, present. Baker. Baker. Dabney.
Dabney, present.
Dabney, present. Frankie.
Frankie, present.
Frankie, present. Greenman.
Present.
Greenman, present. Haley. Haley. Jurgens.
Jurgens, present.
Jurgens, present. Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Katiza Watoon.
Present.
Katiza Watoon, present. Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Tujong.
Present.
Tujong, present.
I'm not on.
Baker.
I'm not on the screen.
Baker. Haley. Haley. The chair, we have quorum.
Jason, I sent you an email regarding Representative Baker. I just sent it to you. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chavez. Members, we now have a quorum. With that, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes for Wednesday, 17th of March, 2021.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jurgens moves the approval for the minutes for March 17, 2021. Any discussions? Any discussions? See none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
See none. The motion prevails. The minutes for March 17, 2021 are now approved. With that, members, we do have five bills. We will try our best to limit each bill to 15 minutes. And if anyone exceeds that, I'll be sorry to cut short the conversation so we can get moving with the next bill. So with that, we have House File 2066. Representative Cagle, please introduce your bill and welcome and get started.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I would move that House File 2066 be laid over for possible inclusion. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, there's a DE amendment as well.
Representative Cagle, did you want to move the DE1?
Yes, let's move the DE1 to get the bill in its proper shape.
Great. So members, DE1 is now moved. Any discussions or did you any discussion we get to DE1? Otherwise, we will make a voice vote on this. See none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? See none. The motion to adopt the DE1 prevails. With that, as the bill as amended, Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So House File 2066 is the Launch Minnesota program. And we have the Commissioner of Deed with us here today. So I'm actually just going to really do a quick overview and then leave it up to the program experts to really talk about this. But Launch Minnesota is focused on growing Minnesota's innovation economy by accelerating the growth of our startup ecosystem and attracting top technology talent to the state. It's comprised of a collection of grant programs, education and training, and a statewide network to connect and grow the startup community. Launch Minnesota will build on the previous efforts of the state to support and enhance our visibility and interest in the innovation ecosystem. Launch Minnesota brings together all key players, founders, venture capitalists, research, academia, business, and educators into one space. And the intention was originally to separate pieces of the initiative from state government, but currently the private sector doesn't have the capacity to take it over. Over the biennium, staff will continue to engage in businesses, higher education, investors, and communities to provide resources to match state investment to sustain and grow the locations and educational services available to entrepreneurs and startups beyond the biennium. And this program is still slated to spin outside, or is still slated to spin outside of the government and sunset January 2024. So with that, I will really, I'll turn it over to the commissioner.
Commissioner Grove, welcome to the committee, and please proceed with your testimony.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Cagle, we're excited to be here to talk to you about Launch Minnesota. This is a program that was created a couple of years ago, really in partnership with both the House and the Senate, with Republicans and Democrats, and of course, the governor's office of Deed, with the belief that Minnesota was at an inflection point, that if we began to do more things to create the kind of environment in our state where people want to take that risk and start a new company, and they have the support in those early days to make sure it's successful, we could really accelerate Minnesota's growth in defining the next chapter of the American economy. And in the past few years, that has begun to really happen. You've seen a record amount of new venture dollars come into the state, a lot more business starts. And of course, with the advent of COVID-19 and all the challenges it has brought our state, you've seen business starts start to climb up too. And so it's been a really well-timed program to make sure that those who are using this moment of disruption in our economy to try something new have the supports they need from an educational standpoint, have the kind of grant dollars and incentives to take that leap and start something new in our markets. So we're very bullish on this program. It is at its center focused on equity and helping those entrepreneurs who might otherwise be overlooked find access to these funds that is written into the statutes, both in terms of the program conception and in how we administer it. And it really helps those who might not yet be ready to get funding from a traditional venture capitalist get their companies into a place where they can start to take in that funding and build companies that, again, are going to create the kind of job we need so desperately in our state's recovery. Again, as we've talked about in this committee, all those net new jobs we're going to get to crawl out of this $416,000 job hole, as it were, are going to come from small businesses and new businesses starting and creating new opportunities. So we're even more bullish this session than we were last time on the program. We're very grateful to Representative Cagle for championing this. And really, I'm going to turn over to the team, because one of the best decisions we've made here at Deed is who we've hired to help build this program. And Neil Molgaard, the director of Launch Minnesota, has just been a huge force of nature in making this program a success. She comes from Greater Minnesota, understands the startup ecosystem well. We're thrilled for her leadership in getting this off the ground. And I know she's going to hand it over to Dave Hengel and Anila as well. We're going to talk a little bit about the impact the program has had. So thanks for having us. Thanks for considering this. And I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Grove. The next person is Director Morgan. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Knorr and Representative Cagle. I'm Neela Molgaard, Executive Director of Launch Minnesota. It's an honor to join all of you here today. Darielle is going to put up a slide deck here. What she's going to be sharing, it's a model that really represents the holistic approach of Launch Minnesota. Startups and innovators are at our core, but all of these sectors are critical to build a strong and vibrant innovative ecosystem. Darielle, do you see the slide deck? There, the next slide. Launch Minnesota is serving as the front door, a neutral central touch point that is bringing these sectors together to start, support, and scale new businesses and technology. We focus on three key areas: capital, culture, and talent. I'll walk you through our progress. We've awarded $2.8 million in 88 startups through our innovation grants, with another announcement coming shortly, which may fully allocate our second year funding already this month. This was about 28% of the dollars requested by our startups. I'm proud to share 59% of our grant awardees are from targeted populations. Minnesota's had a record year in venture capital investment, deploying $1.8 billion. Launch Minnesota will continue to incentivize private investment through our grant match and other efforts. Second, we are creating a collaborative culture. States and countries that create an attractive environment for startups are surpassing those that don't. We first started by creating a collaborative statewide network, first of its kind hub and spoke model, bringing together these six regions, eight hubs, and over 80 program partners. Regions were asked and encouraged to look outside of their organization and their city to leverage their strengths. These networks have come together, meeting on a regular cadence, leveraging programming, marketing efforts, and funding. They're customizing their local offerings, but accessing our statewide best practices. Due to the creation of this network, we entered a competition sponsored by the SBA, the United States Small Business Administration, which resulted in Minnesota receiving the SBA Super Connector Award in this January, along with four other initiatives across the nation. The SBA has identified that a connected and coordinated ecosystem is beneficial to entrepreneurship, and that's our goal. Third, we are working to develop talent and expertise. Through our partners, we've educated through Lean Startup Education over 635 entrepreneurs. Over 110 have received a certification. Also, a select group of our innovation grantees, awardees outside of the University of Minnesota system now have access to the university's expertise and one-to-one technical assistance through the new Discovery Launchpad MN. Launch Minnesota is creating strong pipelines and on-ramps, connecting entrepreneurs to the resources, talent, and capital they need to be successful. And the Minnesota Expert Exchange, in partnership with the University of Minnesota, is helping entrepreneurs find the right connections at the right time. I am really proud of the traction that we've seen in Minnesota's startup ecosystem in the past year and a half since our official kickoff. 92% of grantees confirmed that we've helped move their startup and technology forward. These startups are the engines of our future jobs and economic growth. We've leveled the playing field. We've increased access, opportunity, and funding to founders who are underrepresented. And we've amplified the story of Minnesota, increasing awareness across regions, the state, and nationally, with a reach of over 75 million. It has been a true honor to serve in this capacity, and I now have the pleasure of introducing Dave Hengel, the director of Bemidji Launchpad.
Thank you so much, Director Morgan. Mr. Hengel, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Greetings from up north, and thanks for the opportunity to share my support for Launch Minnesota. My name is Dave Hengel, and I'm the executive director of Greater Bemidji. Being in economic development for 35 years, I've worked with virtually every DEED program. There's none I'm more excited about than Launch Minnesota. You know, I serve on both the advisory board, but also as the regional hub for the Northwest region. As a board member, I've noticed as we review the grants that a vast majority have come from the Twin Cities metro area, but I challenge you, don't let that lead you to believe that Launch Minnesota is unimportant to Greater Minnesota. In fact, I think it's the exact opposite. Because of Greater Minnesota's regions are in its infancy in building a startup ecosystem, I believe regional areas desperately need Launch Minnesota. In my role as regional hub, I can also observe the impact Launch Minnesota's had up north. Entrepreneurship is in the DNA of Northwest Minnesotans. Some of our Minnesota's greatest companies, Polaris, Articat, Marvin Windows, DigiKey, Team Industries, were all started by a Northwest Minnesota entrepreneur. Yet they did it without the benefit of a regional foundation to support startups. In a very real sense, in Northwest Minnesota, we are starting from scratch. With the support of Launch Minnesota's education grant, 14 regional partners have come together with a clear focus on supporting the next great startups. We've created a network of locally based entrepreneur navigators spread throughout our region that serve as entry points into our ecosystem. They are single points of contact, and they surround the startups with the supports they need. Because of Launch Minnesota, we are working together like never before in Northwest Minnesota. We're sharing resources, events, expertise, and mentors, and we're connecting with their other resources that Launch Minnesota has created statewide. Thanks to Launch Minnesota, we are laying the foundation that will serve our region startups for many, many years. increasing our chance at finding that next Polaris, DigiKey, Marvin Windows, or other great company. Thanks for again for the opportunity to share my enthusiastic support for Launch Minnesota. That's the end of my remarks, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much for your testimony. The last person to testify on this bill is Ednani. Ms. Ednani, welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Hello, thank you for having me. My name is Anila Ednani. Thank you, Chair Noor and representatives, for your service to Minnesotans and for the opportunity to be here today. I am Anila Ednani, a Launch Minnesota advisor and a grantee. My husband and I moved here 11 years ago for work. Today, we are two of four co-founders of HabitAware, a mental health tech company and Time Magazine Best Invention. HabitAware is a Launch Minnesota research grantee, having recently been awarded a Phase 2 SBIR with the National Science Foundation. This matching grant enabled us to bring on a data scientist and electrical engineer for expert consultation. As I've said many times, the work we do at HabitAware, helping 1 in 20 Americans suffering from compulsive hair pulling, skin picking, and nail biting, would not be happening if not for our move to Minnesota. Minnesota has the trifecta of values needed to generate material prosperity. These are concentration, consistency, and cooperation. And these values are embodied in the Launch Minnesota program. Efforts are concentrated on bridging the gap in early stage funding, as not everyone has access to friends and family who can invest in their early product development. Additionally, Launch Minnesota consistently supports its grantees with events, connections, mentorship, and monthly gatherings to exchange knowledge. As well, Launch Minnesota has been instrumental in solidifying cooperation and community relationships between ecosystem builders across the state. Launch Minnesota plays a fundamental and critical role in supporting startup business innovation. The program is necessary to ensure Minnesota stays competitive nationally and internationally, and that Minnesota has the ability to attract top professional talent and spur future economic growth. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you so much, Ms. Ednani, for your testimony and the work that you're doing to contribute to the innovation ecosystem to the state of Minnesota. This is a program, quite frankly, sometimes I call it, the basement innovators who are getting the opportunity to be on the forefront to make a big difference in our society. As you all aware of, in this world right now, everything is about the internet. Everything is about technology, or something that I usually call tele-everything. So this is a great opportunity. It's a great program, great initiative, and I'm proud to have been part of the initial launch for this program. With that, members, I see Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And let me know, I've been having trouble with the internet today at the state office building, so let me know if that starts happening and again.
Will do.
I've watched this program closely, as I had one of the kind of the original ecosystems, Red Wing Ignite, in my community, and so have been excited to see startups originate out of my own community and seeing how this has grown in this statewide effort. To the other committee members, as you all know, I'm really a public-private partnership person. And that's what I really like about this initiative. It's so unique in so many other things that we do at the state level, in that it draws in so much private equity to these efforts. And it also, in doing so, really breaks down barriers that we often see in state government programs. Everybody's got to come to the table in order for these entrepreneurs like Ms. Ednani to succeed. So it's very exciting to me to see this happening in our state. And I'm wondering if Executive Director Molgaard could kind of tell us more. You know, we may often think about Boston or San Francisco when we think of venture capital and entrepreneurship, but can you tell us, where does Minnesota rank and just how far we've come, and the fact that this, every state's doing this now, and so we have to be a player at the table. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Director Morgan, I just wanted also to note, I think, Director Morgan, you are from the Red Wing area, which is represented by Representative Haley. Please proceed.
Yes, Representative Haley, We are seeing a lot of traction here in the Midwest, especially Minnesota, the investors and businesses from the coast coming here. There are many rankings. It depends on which ranking you look at. Commissioner Grove has a bold vision that Minnesota would be one of the top five innovative states in the nation. We're not there yet, but we're making good traction. But it's efforts like this that will keep us competitive nationally and globally.
Representative Andy.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair. No further questions.
With no any further discussion or questions, I just wanted to appreciate the testimony from everyone, and I would like to give it back to Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. As I was hearing some of these, the testimony, I just kept thinking about Shark Tank. And so this is like our own Minnesota version of Shark Tank, which is a lot nicer, I guess. But I think this is a great program, and I really hope that we can get it across to the finish line. So thank you all very much.
Did you want to renew your motion as amended? I'll renew the motion for you. I renew, Representative Cagle renews her motion. House File 2066 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion. So thank you so much. With that, we're moving to House File 784. Representative Thompson, welcome to the Workforce and Business Development. And I just wanted to move your bill to Public Safety, Finance, and Policy Committee. And I see you also have an amendment.
Yeah, with respect to Representative Frankie, offered two amendments, Chair Noor. And
Representative Thompson, maybe we shall start with the author's amendment, which you have, and then you can explain the bill, which is a technical amendment, which changes the base.
The amended language does two things, Chair. The amended language ensures that we're doing our available utilization and reporting with our affirmative action program contract procurement by each protected groups, women, disabled, Black, Latino, Indigenous, Asian, veteran status versus the aggregate reporting that we have done historically. And the second thing it does is require a quarterly progress report. So I ask for your support on this. Did I lose you?
The House nonpartisan staff can briefly walk us through that. Michelle? Members,
Chair and members, I believe actually Matt Gehring is on the call to cover this bill.
Mr. Matt Gehring, welcome to the committee and address the House Amendment A3, please.
Mr. Chair and members, yeah, Matt Gehring from House Research. I staff the State Government Committee. As well as this bill. The amendment actually is just correcting a couple of typographical errors in the drafting of the bill. I think Representative Thompson might be describing the amendment that was adopted in the State Government Committee last time. So there were a couple of date references that were just incorrect in the bill. And so this is updating those references to fiscal year 2022.
Thank you so much. So this is more of a technical in nature. I just wanted to get the vote for this one. Members, all those in favor for A3 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? See none. The amendment is adopted. With the amendment adopted as amended your bill, tell us about your bill for the section that is related to this committee. Representative Thompson. You're muted, Representative Thompson, you're muted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
You hear me? Hey, yes. Chair, thank you. And thank you to the committee for hearing this historic bill. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would like to just highlight again that this bill actually targets state appropriations statewide for the African-American, African immigrant community to build and expand capacity to address disparities by the poor administration and enforcement of our primary equal opportunity laws made worse by the pandemic. This bill also issues funds to correct the poor administration and enforcement of the primary equal opportunity laws, affirmative action, contract procurement, human rights enforcement, and to end systemic racism, racial injustice, and eliminate disparities. So, Mr. Chair and members, I ask for your support. This bill is Section 3, Appropriations, Entrepreneurial and Business Training Assistance. It's a $50 million ask, which I know is pretty hefty, but we know in negotiations, everything is negotiable. In the fiscal year of 2020-21, is appropriated from the general fund to the Commissioner of Department of Employment and Economic Development for grants to the African-American organizations to A, strengthen their entrepreneurial and business training and technical support, establish an African-American-controlled business development in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Cloud, Duluth, Rochester, Mankato, and surrounding cities, provide financial assistance in a usable form to African-American businesses throughout the state. This is a one-time appropriation, Chair, and the appropriation is available until June 30th, 2024.
Thank you so much, Representative Thompson, for that explanation for the bill. And we do have one testifier who signed up. That is Deputy. If you can please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Alexander Buster Deputy. I am a father, a husband. I am a father of 8 children. A husband, a small business owner. My family and I immigrated to this country almost about 30 years ago. Okay. So as a Black man, I am quite insulted by this bill. Because this bill is supposed to be addressing systemic racism within our country. The issue is that I think this bill promotes racism within our country. You know, when you start appropriating general funds for a specific group of people, excluding others simply based on the color of their skin, all right? That within itself is racist. You know, that within itself divides us. It does not bring us together. So case in point, that because my skin color is darker than my neighbor, I am awarded something simply because of the color of my skin, or Representative Thompson just said, protected class. Aren't every single citizen supposed to be protected? Okay. So this bill within itself to me does not bring us together at all. It does not fight racism. It promotes racism. And if you guys are supporting this, you guys are promoting the very thing that this bill claims to be trying to stop or end. The other thing too is that this bill puts Black people more or people of color back into more slavery. The very thing that we have tried to address in this country for hundreds of years, this will put us back into that. Because if we are promoting that, look, because of the color of your skin, something you have no control over whatsoever, because you have a darker skin color, you are automatically at a disadvantage. But who gets to decide that? Is it the government? because you don't have control over that. All right? This essentially handicaps Blacks or people of color because they are having that mentality that because of something I have no control over, I am at a disadvantage. Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. If you can wrap up, because I know we do have other discussions and bills and amendment.
Okay. So, so wrapping it up is that I would like to see our country becoming more united. And I do not believe that this bill will bring us together. It will further divide us. So I will urge people to really think about this bill and think about its implication. And I will encourage more people to speak out against this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Members, I understand that people are passionate about issues sometimes, but the bottom line, we can never ignore the systemic racism. As you're all aware of, we passed the resolution in the House last year, and we have talked about it in this committee, and we'll keep on continuing to address the injustice, the lack of resources, the lack of development for the BIPOC community. So it's something that we have addressed it in many places, and we will have more conversation as a state, as a country in moving forward.
Mr. Chair. That,
who's speaking?
My name is Farhil Khalif. Can I say something?
Please be brief, 1 minute, so we can pick, we can take the two amendments.
Yes, I was just asking, this was not correct.
Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Farhil Khalif, Executive Director of Voice of East African Women, member of the NAACP, the Vice President of Minnesota Dakota's NAACP. And I'm here today try to testify, but I don't know how we get into that person. It's not the person who was, there's a couple of people who was here. It is here today to testify for this bill, and I hope you give the opportunity for them to do that. Thank you.
You had the floor to speak on the bill, but I wanted to make sure that we do have other bills.
Let me
give you the opportunity. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. I just want to make sure that, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank you for the opportunity for giving us today to hear House File 784. And I also want to thank the members of the committee who's here also giving us the opportunity to be here. And I just want to remind you that the African-American and African immigrant communities in the state of Minnesota, when it comes to the businesses, are really struggling. And also we are growing, and when, as you see everywhere, not only the Twin Cities, the Minneapolis and St. Paul, but we are presence everywhere when it comes to the suburb and the urbans and everywhere. So I'm also talking to not only my Democrat friends, but also my Republican friends in the committee today, especially my friend Ron Hamilton, who understands the struggle that the African American and the African immigrants are going through economically in this country, and systematically is being targeted when it comes to contractors and when it comes to and the lack of access of equal opportunity for anything that are we looking for the Blacks in America. This bill is historic. This bill is the opportunity here we'll give it to your members to vote on, to hear the voices of the Blacks in America. And I disagree, the person before me who was spoken about that, this bill directly talking about the African-American and African immigrant communities in the state of Minnesota. Disproportionately, it's been affected systematically, racist, and everything that we're talking about this country today. This bill will unite, will heal, will bring us together. We are not asking more. This is just a down payment for our communities. And I'm hoping that since Dr. Corey Bruce is on the call right now, he is here to testify. And Mr. Chair, and I hope that you give Dr. Corey to say a couple minutes to testify. And I know you have a lot of things that you are looking forward to this. As an NAACP member, as a member of the civil rights, the oldest civil rights in the country, this is an opportunity that my Republican friends and Democrat friends have today to vote on and support this bill. And I don't know who was the person before me talking about this bill will divide us. No, this bill will unite us, will support the bring whites, blacks, native, Latinos, Asian communities together and thank come you, together as united. And I just want to say thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Please consider and vote for this bill and support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Khalif. So I wanted to make sure that I give a minute. He will be the last person to testify, Dr. Bruce Corey. Please welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Noor, Vice Chair Zhang, Representative Hamilton, and members of the committee. My name is Dr. Bruce Corey. I'm an economist at Concordia University and with the Alana Brain Trust. I testify in support of House File 784, which aims to address serious racial disparities experienced by African Americans in Minnesota by proposing comprehensive investments in multiple areas. Investment in the African American economy in Minnesota is not a zero-sum game. Rather, investments in the African American company will help the larger economy in Minnesota grow through increases in output, jobs, income, and federal and state and local tax revenue. For example, the Alana Brain Trust Implan economic model illustrates this positive impact of the investments of this bill. It will result in over $400 million growth, an estimated growth in output in Minnesota, around 3,000 jobs, and $57 million in federal, state, and local taxes. For the specific investment of $50 million in African-American businesses, the model says that this would support an increase in $68 million increase in output in the Minnesota economy, supporting almost 500 jobs and $24 million in wages, and around $10 million in federal, state, and local taxes. And just one quickly, the reason why we support African-American businesses through these unique programs is that as a community, they are not accessing resources through these formal financial channels. It's been documented, and I've done the research on the PPP program. Most of the, among all the Alana communities, African-American businesses owners relied more on the nonprofit lending network for loans and assistance. And so the investments of this bill to build up that capital and technical infrastructure for this business is right on track, because another important fact is that a typical African American business is very small, about 80,000 in revenue compared to about half a million of a white business. And so there's much more potential to grow, and I would strongly encourage the support of this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your testimony. I know I don't want to ignore the Ms. Castile, who is with us. If you wanted to just speak for a minute, and we'll go to the amendments. I'm sorry to the other testifiers. We do have other bills before us. Ms. Valerie Castile, welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Valerie Castile. I'm the mother of Philando Castile, and I just wanted to say that I would appreciate it very much if you guys would support House File 784. My son Philando started working when he was 13 years old because of a training program designed for the African-American children in the neighborhood. And after he worked for this small summer program, he worked during the school year. He kept his grades up, and he became gainfully employed since the age of 13 because he had the accessibility and, you know, being able to be trained in small motors and fixing bicycles. And I just wanted to say that you can feed a man for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, he'll eat forever. And we're asking for an investment of a pole and a hook, and we will have the reel with our strength. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to hear this bill. It's a large bill, yes it is, but it's designed to address systemic racism, because once we do that, then we can become self-sufficient, and it'll decrease crime and Our neighborhoods will become safer if we can get allocated money in order for us to train our children. Education is everything. If our children are educated and trained, they will go out to be productive citizens. So I just want to thank you very much. And the young man, Alexander, thank you very much for your thoughts. And we appreciate you being here. But we're trying to do this for the African-American and African immigrants, and we're asking for that investment. It's an investment, and it will pay off, you know, once the programs get going and people become employed. We're trying to see our kids be employed. That's it. We want better for our children. We have seen Black businesses go, but they never come back. Over the course of years that I have been here in Minnesota, I have seen a decline in entrepreneurship and business ownership. So I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, Ms.
Castillo. I appreciate your testimony, and we appreciate all the work that you've been doing in the community with that. Representative Frankie, you do have two amendments. Which amendment did you want to start with?
Sure, thank you. Let's just go in order here. Let's start with the A4 amendment. I'd like to move the A4 amendment, Mr. Chair.
A4 amendment is before the committee. Representative Frankie, did you want to explain what the A4 amendment does?
Sure, Mr. Chair. The A4 amendment, just page 2, line 15, after the period inserted, grants made under this section must be allocated to the organizations located in the cities listed in clause 2 on a per capita basis. I thought around that was, Mr. Chair, this section talks about setting up centers in some of our major cities. As we know, the size of our communities are different, and I would like to make sure that that money is distributed equitably throughout the communities. As we know, in Minneapolis, our BIPOC population is larger than in Mankato. So I just want to make sure that those funds are being allocated appropriately.
I've spoken with the author of the bill. He will accept the amendment without any discussions, members. See none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? See none. The amendment is adopted. Representative Frankie, you do have another amendment. You're muted.
Sorry about that, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I would like to move the A5 amendment.
Proceed, Representative Frankie. Representative Frankie moves A5 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The A5 amendment states that no later than January 15, 2023, the commissioner must submit a report to the chairs and ranking minority members of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over the economic development, detailing the grants awarded under this section, including information on the geographic distribution of those grants and how the funds are expected to be.
Thank you. I've spoken also with the author of the bill in regards to that amendment. He accepts the amendment. Any discussions? Any discussions? See none. All those in favor of the A5 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? See none. The amendment is now adopted. Any further comments, Representative Frankie?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just wait till we get to the questions.
We do have now the bill before us as an amended. Did you have any questions for the bill author before he goes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will go ahead. I guess I would start by saying, and I know there's a lot of emotions around this bill. I would like to start by asking the representative a question. I guess from reading this entire bill, I want to say, Representative Thompson, that I get this, and I try to put myself in everybody else's shoes when considering decisions. So one way I thought about this in my own arena is, you know, I place racism as a looking at it through the eyes of addiction. And the first thing we need to do when it comes to addiction is admit there's a problem. And I have no problem admitting we have a problem. So on that note, my question to the bill author is, if with this bill we are trying to get at systemic racism, from reading this bill and all the different sections, and I will try to limit my comments to just our section after this, but it just seems that we're throwing a lot of money at a system that is broken without a lot of guidelines, guardrails, requirements, or specifications. So moving forward, I'm wondering, how do you think that by just throwing all this one-time money at a situation, are we going to get at this egregious situation that needs to be fixed? And just moving forward, how can we do that without placing in some, I don't know, requirements on how do we get there? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Representative Frankie. Before I give it to Representative Thompson to answer the question, I just wanted to note by 1:50, we are going to be taking the vote on this bill. And I know there's four other individuals who have raised their hand. Representative Thompson.
I do have an answer for that. I normally would allude to my key testifier, but Representative Frankie, I wanna make sure that I answer your question the way I see fit. And I wanna throw it back at you and say, how does not investing in it, because that's what's been happening, not investing in my community, not investing in the people who are underserved, how does that fix it? As a matter of fact, not investing in it has created a lot of crime in my community because Black people are gonna eat. So if you see them in the store stealing Miracle Whip and a loaf of bread, it's because they don't have money. A lot of people in my community didn't get a $1,400 stimulus check, right? And after the pandemic, we're going to be in an epidemic in my community. And so I throw that back at you and ask you, how does not investing in it for years, not investing in my community, how does that fix systemic racism?
Representative Frank, and then we go to the next member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that answer, Representative Thompson. You bring up a point for me that I'm actually agreeing with you, and I'm willing to give you a positive vote out of this committee, and we'll continue to look at this bill and work forward. My problem is I want to see results. I want to see how do we get there? How do we do this work? Because I'm with you, my friend, you know what I mean? But I also want to know that we're getting results and and we're protecting everybody. There's a lot of underserved communities. So I had other questions, Mr. Chair. I know the time is limited, so I'll just end with that. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Thompson.
I believe the next person was Representative Jogins, and then we'll go to Representative Emma Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be quick. I just I want to ask a question of Mr. Deputy. If this isn't the solution to getting to systemic racism, if he can offer a quick solution of what he thinks would be a better way to attack this problem.
Representative Thompson.
No, this is for Mr. Deputy. One of the testifiers.
All right, yep. Thank you for that. So what I think that we need to do is that we need to start really thinking about why are these community underserved? You know, first things first. So I honestly believe that starts at home, okay? It starts with family values of working hard, you know, persevering. All of these things are a natural fact of life. You cannot control what life throws at you, but you can control how you respond. So my parents taught me from
a if you can wrap up Mr. Deputy, we do have yep. more people asking questions.
Yep. Work hard, okay? Nobody owes you anything. You need to work hard. You need to learn to work hard.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy. We'll go to Liz Olson, and then I think for my other members, we'll give Lead Hamilton the closing. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Thompson, for bringing this bill forward. I just wanted to note for the section to the committee, I would have probably done it as a question, but I'll just maybe make it as a comment. Specifically, I love the part, not just about the funding, but the part in your bill, Representative Thompson, that talks about strengthening the entrepreneurial and business training and technical support. And I would have loved to hear a little bit more about that and how that would have impacted communities. I think that's great. It's not just a general grant program, but it's actually strengthening and bolstering the support to make sure businesses are successful. So I was going to ask about that, but in lieu of time, I'll just make that comment. And then I also want to say I heard loud and clear from my community, from the African Heritage community in Duluth, the strong support of this bill. And when communities most impacted tell us what the solution is, I think it behooves us to listen. And I just encouraged other members to support this bill.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Lead Hamilton, you have the final words before we move on to the next bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And again, my apologies to all the testifiers. I don't have my camera on because my screen locks up. Mr. Chairman, we're missing a great opportunity here to educate people like myself on this issue. It's not critical of you, Mr. Chairman. It's critical of the legislative process. Representative Thompson, I want to learn more. And Ms. Castillo, I want to hear more from you as well. This is a huge issue. And individuals like myself, I want to learn. I need you to help educate me on these issues as well. I've been invited, and there's individuals on this call who have taken me through Minneapolis and St. Paul to help educate me on the issue. And that's why I've supported various bills that other people would think that an individual like myself, my ethnicity, the place that I live, et cetera, they'd think I wouldn't support bills like that. But because people have taken the time to educate me on issues is a reason why I have done that. Mr. Chairman, my criticism today is that we have a great opportunity to educate people like myself if we have the time to do it. And, you know, I look at this, and Representative Thompson, I'd like you to answer this question for me, if you could, please. You know, when we talk about the laws, the policies, the cultures within the government entities, and how that has led to a lot of the issues that we're experiencing today. And then we see a bill like yours, and I'm gonna say this just for briefly, I see the dollars invested in urban agriculture. Representative Thompson, I carry that bill because I visited with people in Minneapolis. I was the chairman of agriculture, and it's beautiful what's taking place there. And I'll say this too, in the Ag Committee, prior to that bill, everybody that came into the Ag Committee and testified, they looked like me. A man or a woman, they looked like me. And I mean to the color of my skin. When I introduced that bill, that room was filled with people that looked like you, Representative Thompson. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. We hadn't experienced that before in the Ag Committee. And now here we have a bill that's investing in this, brought to us from an individual that's been impacted by the disparities, the discrepancies, whatever. And my question to you, Representative Thompson, is this is obviously a lot of money going towards directly to government agencies that many would say were part of the problem. Are you confident, if this money is being invested, are you confident that these programs will be successful? Because it's the same entities that will be trying to administer the programs. I guess that's my question to you.
Representative Thompson, you do have 10 seconds response. I'm sure that Lead Hamilton has requested a follow-up, and I'm sure you will check in with him and have more further conversation.
Representative Hamilton, if you can see me and see my face, you notice that I have been this skin color all my life. I cannot unzip this costume that I have on. Like, this is my skin color. I'm a black man. right? And you said 10 seconds, Chair. And so we were dealing with the workforce development piece to this bill. I would love to entertain your question over a cup of coffee. I would definitely love to sit down with you and talk with you. I think that we have a disconnect because you don't live our lived experiences and I don't live yours. And right. Therefore, you have no idea what's happening in our community. And I have no idea what's happening in yours unless I come. But that doesn't necessarily make it untrue. The other piece I'll say, and then I'll end, Chair, if you can allow me, is legislation helped create a lot of the disparities that we see right now in this state. And legislation can help fix them. And I promised this body in 2016 after the murder of my friend that I'd be right here as a legislator. Because that's how I was told, if you want to change something, be the change. Well, here I am, being the change that I want to see. It's been a long, hard fight for me and my family to get here. Man, it's been a long, hard fight. And I lost my friend. It's systemic racism, and we keep losing Black men in this state.
That's right.
These Black young men are killing each other on our streets. And that's because of the underinvestments. These Black men are playing a game of Grand Theft Auto with carjackers. And the only thing we get out of legislation is complaints, but no investments. We've already tried everything except for investing in these communities. We've tried to lock these problems away, and they come back. They will keep coming back. And so I want to have a cup of coffee with you, and thank you so much, Representative Hamilton, for your comments.
Thank you so much, Representative Thompson. I hear your passion about this issues, the impact on many of us, the things that we see on our streets, in our neighborhoods. I just wanted to conclude by renewing, if you'll allow me to renew my motion, House File 784, as amended to be re-referred to Public Safety and Finance and Policy Committee. With that, I'm going to ask.
Mr. Chairman, please.
Lead Hamilton.
I'm just going to say this. Representative Thompson, let's have that cup of coffee. All right, let's have that cup of coffee. Educate me on this, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We have a motion before us, and I will ask the committee legislative assistant, Mr. Chavez, to take the role.
Chair Noor?
Aye.
Chair Noor, aye. Vice Chair Jay Zhang is excused. Lead Hamilton?
No for now.
Lead Hamilton, no. Baker? Baker is excused. Dabney?
Dabney votes aye.
Dabney votes aye. Frankie?
The aye with an invite down to the Park Cafe for coffee.
Frankie, aye. Greenman?
Aye.
Greenman, aye. Haley? Jurgens?
Jurgens, aye.
Jurgens, aye. Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Katizo Atun?
Aye.
Katizo Atun, aye. Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Tujong?
Aye.
Tujong, aye. Haley?
Mr. Haley, no.
Haley, no. Mr. Chair, the motion prevails with.
We can hear you.
Mr. Chair, the motion prevails with 9 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused.
With 9 ayes, 2 noes, and 2 excused, the motion prevails. Representative Thompson, you're on your way to the Public Safety Committee. So with that, we move to the next bill, which is House File 875. I see Representative Fu Lee. Since we don't have our vice chair today, I move House File 875 to be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Lee, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members for this opportunity to present House File 875 on behalf of Representative Zhang. This bill appropriates $4 million from the general fund to the African Economic Development Solutions for Building Construction that supports business incubation, workforce development, and technical assistance to support new and existing African immigrant entrepreneurs aimed at addressing the pervasive economic inequities that we are seeing. And 300 is for the building construction, and $3 million, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, $3 million is for building construction and $1 million is for workforce development and technical assistance, including but not limited to business development, entrepreneur training, business technical assistance, loan and community development services. And Mr. Chair, I do have a group of testifiers that are here that could speak more to this bill than I can. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Chair Lee. With that, we do have Mr. Ali Shire on this bill. Please welcome to the committee, introduce yourself and proceed.
Oh, hello. My name is Liban Ali Shire, and I'm a small business owner. I'm part owner of Jigjiga Event Center. And I just wanted to testify to talk a little bit about our business. We started our business back in 2017. And our mission of our business was to really gather to provide this banquet hall space for the community. It's a space that that we use to for meetings and weddings and different type of venues, I should say. And our business really tremendously suffered, being located. We're located in Lake Street in South Minneapolis, Lake in Bloomington. So we were really impacted by the unrest of George Floyd. And in addition to that, this type of business that we're in is a banquet hall that requires a gathering of a lot of people. And so, as you know, the governor orders completely shut our business down. The way we're legally structured was through 1099s. As you know, this type of business is based on events, and so we're happy to work with partners like AEDS that really helped us walk through these different challenges. We went to the regular banks, and they were not able to provide us all the different help that the state and the federal government was providing to businesses with better structure, a legal structure that had all their 941s and their payrolls and businesses that were in a better situations. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm cutting off here. Our customers are our neighbors, the city itself, and I think some of you guys have been to our space when we open our space and a lot of times just donated to the community and to our neighbors to be able to use the space to, you know, get together and get our ideas together. AEDS as an organization was really critical. They helped us with the marketing, our website, our business plan, national projections.
We're losing you, Mr. Alisher, so
yeah, I, you can wrap I'm up sorry. Here. I think I have my phone on VND, but somehow I'm able to, I think phone calls are still coming in for whatever reason. Can you hear me?
Yes, please, if you can wrap your testimony.
Okay. So it's really it's quick. Quickly, I'm here to support this bill, and I'm here to support AEDS as an organization, and we're here to encourage the legislators to work with organizations like this because they are aware of what's going on in our community. They work with small businesses like ours, and the big banks. We don't know about us. That's the really reality. I'm here. I want to thank you, Chairman, for inviting us and taking our testimony.
Thank you so much, Mr. Adishire. The next person is Mr. Holler. Please welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Hi, I'm representing Mr. Holler on behalf of ITC Transit. My name is Frau. Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee for giving me this opportunity to speak. I'm with ITC Transit and we specialize with type 3 transportation, transporting students from home to school. And our business is a small business. We started about with 2 to 3 employees. And with the help of AEDS technical support and loan packaging for a startup business, we're happy to announce that, you know, we employ over 30 employees in our organization. As you guys know, COVID has restricted all of those our operation and scaled us down. Many of our staffs are laid off, and we are working on hopefully getting everything back up as schools opening. One of the key things for small businesses is knowing to find where resources are. And organizations like AEDS are fantastic and reaching out, making sure they do their due diligence to research and provide those support. And a lot of small businesses and minority businesses go to AEDS to receive those support. And we ask in support of this House bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee, for giving me this time, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Devo. The next person is Dr. Dalu. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Honorable Muhammad Noor, and the committee for giving me this opportunity to testify on behalf of AEDS. My name is Abraham Dalu. I'm the owner and the administrator of ANA Reliable Home Health Care. We provide home health care, such as personal care assistance, private duty nursing, and various waiver services for the last 8 years. And during the COVID-19 pandemic shutdown or curfews declared by the governor of Minnesota, we continued working as an essential workforce, providing cares to those who need it. We never missed a day, regardless of the difficulties imposed on us by COVID-19. So we consider to be fortunate to be in business today. And, you know, at the beginning of our business, I basically come from a pharmaceutical background doing research. But when my wife and I, who is a registered nurse, decided to start our own business, providing home care services was something mutually agreed upon, both of us. And at that time, of course, we did not have an experience to run a business. And AEDS just reached out to us and walked us through the initial processes that businesses should go through, such as providing bookkeeping trainings, providing marketing materials such as business card brochures, so that we can effectively reach out to the communities we intended to reach out. And as you know, AEDS provides much more services to businesses like ours, like assistance with the COVID-19 related PPP. And during the civil unrest, they fundraise to support African-American and African immigrant-owned businesses and providing loans. And today, as a result of their efforts, many businesses are staying in business. And in closing, I'm of course, as I indicated, I'm here to fully support the House Bill 875, which provides AEDS more capacity to even do more to the African immigrant communities. In closing, I want to leave you with the research done by our own Dr. Bruce Corey. And according to the 2015 Concordia University study, over 300 African immigrant-owned businesses statewide generated $281 million and employing thousands of immigrants. So this is why we need to support AEDS so that it continues doing more, so that all immigrants in the state of Minnesota are profitable, supporting themselves and supporting the state at large. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and the committee.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dalu. So with that, I don't have anyone else who signed up to testify. Discussion members or questions? See none. I know we have had conversations with the director, Mr. Galgalu, and he's been before us several times with the work that they do in partnership with DEED and others. So we look forward to having more conversation in terms of supporting businesses impacted by COVID-19 pandemic. And I look forward to working with all the nonprofit CDFIs, and we will give the opportunity for the closing remarks to Chair Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for this consideration, and look forward to working with all of you to see if we could help out these business owners. Thank you all.
Thank you. I renew my motion. House File 875, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. With that, I transfer the chairmanship to Representative Kotizo Watun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, next on our agenda is House File 2007. Chair Noor, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, I do have House File 2007 I move House File 2007 to be laid over for possible inclusion, Madam Chair.
Very good. Mr. Chair, to your bill.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. This is a grant program for the Emerge Community Development, which is actually in my district. This is the Opportunity Center, and their focus on addressing the challenges many people are having to getting back to work. And I have individuals from the Opportunity Center with us today who will tell us a little bit about their programs, and I ask for your support. With that, Madam Chair, I'd like to invite the testifiers.
Thank you. First on the list, we have Muhammad Ali. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair and committee members. Before I go, I'm going to share a screen.
If you could introduce yourself and who you're with, Mr. Ali, thank you.
I'm a Senior Director of Workforce Programs at Emerge Community Development.
Thank you.
And I will share. My colleague Saeed Behi and I are pleased to be here to share some information about the Cedar Riverside Opportunity Center. The Cedar Riverside Opportunity Center was launched in 2017 as a partnership of Hennepin County, Hennepin Library, the City of Minneapolis, Minneapolis College, and Emerge, along with key employers and institutions, including Fairview Hospital, Oxford College, and the University of Minnesota. The Opportunity Center operates adult and youth employment, pre-employment readiness, several career pathway trainings, financial education, AMFIP services, and other youth education services. The Opportunity Center's purpose is to connect community residents to economic opportunities through jobs and careers. Cedar Riverside is a community made up mainly of high density apartment living with some of the lowest incomes and highest rates of unemployment in the state of Minnesota and also in the region. The majority of residents are East African and are striving to make gains in employment and education. However, This community has been disproportionately impacted by job losses during the pandemic. During this challenge, the community has tremendous assets with close proximity to employment centers and is highly transit accessible to get to where jobs are located. We have two train stations in Cedar Riverside. One goes to Mall of America, one goes to St. Paul. And people are eager to make economic progress. I would like to invite Saeed Behi, my partner.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Ali. Next, we do have Saeed Behi. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
You're muted, Mr. Behi.
Oh, good afternoon, and thank you, Madam Chair. As my colleague Mohammed mentioned, I am Saeed Behi, and I work for the City of Minneapolis as a center manager for the Cedar Riverside Opportunity Center. Mohammed and I co-lead the partnership that convenes at the center. Our work is data-driven, and we are pleased to report to you that in 2020, in spite of the COVID pandemic, is everyone listening to me? Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Thank you.
In spite of the COVID pandemic, we serve 634 individuals through a range of important services. 111 people obtained employment, with nearly half of those exceeding the wage of $15 an hour. 26 youth were placed in jobs or internships. Hundreds of people received virtual trainings and education services, and 38 of those people obtained certificate credentials in either healthcare, commercial driving license, IT, or other trainings. During the pandemic, we have broadened our work out to help 129 residents obtain laptops and digital access, and many others with food support and other family financial support during this very difficult time in our state and community. Coming out of the pandemic this year, we feel that funding support is critical for the center to move forward and respond to the demands to reconnect our community to the workforce, opportunities, and career trainings. Funding is also needed to replace state and county funding that is ending. The team looks forward to partnering with DEED to build out a robust work plan and results to forward all this work during 2021 and 2022. And thank you very much for having us, and we look forward to any questions that you may have.
Thank you for your testimony. That's all that we have for testifiers today, so we will move on to member questions and discussion. I don't have any hands raised right now. Members, do you have any questions for either Mr. Chair or the testifiers?
Yes, I do. Oh. I actually do have a question. Hello?
Sorry, we're actually only taking member testimony at this time.
Oh, okay. I thought you had questions for, can you let me know when you can ask, when you're asking the questions for the general, like everyone that's on the meeting?
Well, so everybody, the public has the opportunity to testify and share their thoughts on the bill, but then members are able to ask questions. The representatives can ask questions of the author or of the testifiers, but the public isn't able to ask questions.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Let me know when the public is able to ask questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, still seeing none, would you like to offer any closing thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I know this is a vital entity in my district and also supporting the city and the county. I know we have talked about finding another pathway for the direct appropriation. It's something that we will start having honest conversation, and I look forward for your support in some of the projects that we will be bringing forward. So with that, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the testimony on this bill. So I renew my motion. House File 2007 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Right. With that, I will just note that anyone with further thoughts from the public should follow up with Chair Noor after the committee is over today. And since Mr. Chair renews his motion that House File 2007 be laid over for possible inclusion in the committee's budget bill, then we will move on to our next bill. And I will hand the virtual gavel back to Chair Noor.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. With that, will you please move your bill, House File 2020? And we do have a few minutes, and hopefully we can extend based on just for a few minutes. I'm asking for the House Info. Travis will let me know if we can extend a few minutes. Please move your bill and tell us about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 2020 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the committee's omnibus bill. And happy to be here to talk a little bit about the SciTech internship program today. So House File 2020 provides $101.75 million in funding for the SciTech internship program, which is run by the Minnesota Technology Association, or MinTech. This program connects college students who are studying science, technology, engineering, and mathematics with paid internships at small and medium-sized businesses across Minnesota. This program is open to employers with fewer than 250 employees worldwide. It's open to Minnesota students in STEM fields who are halfway through their two-year, four-year, or a graduate degree program. And they're also, it's out-of-state residents attending school here in Minnesota are also eligible. The goal is to attract and retain talented students to remain here in Minnesota's STEM workforce after their graduation. MinTech recruits students with an emphasis on women and students of color and small Minnesota businesses to participate, and they facilitate the connections between students and employers via a web portal. Businesses maintain the hiring authority and they receive dollar-for-dollar match to cover 50% of the intern's wages up to $2,500. This $1.75 million in funding will provide at least 400 internships over the next 2 years. So today we have an employer and two interns who have participated in the program. But first, I would like to introduce one of my constituents, Jeff Tollefson from MinTech, to provide a brief overview of the program.
Mr. Tollefson, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Tollefson, and I do serve as the president of the Minnesota Technology Association. And I'm going to be very brief because you're not going to want to hear from me. You're going to want to hear from those that have been impacted by the program. But suffice it to say that our economy needs more STEM talent. It's a digital world today, and we need to be investing in our youth to fill these important roles to propel our innovation economy forward. And we need to create a more inclusive technology workforce and ecosystem. And with that, I want to turn this over to my colleague, Becky Siegmeier, who runs the program.
Thank you so much. Ms. Siegmeier, please welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Becky Siegmeier, and I'm the director of the SciTech Internship Program. Since 2012, the SciTech Internship Program has been connecting college STEM majors with paid internships in small Minnesota companies. Small businesses need help connecting to and paying for talent, and students need help connecting to opportunities that provide hands-on experience. And SciTech is that connector. In addition, SciTech provides employers with a wage match that covers 50% of the intern's wages, capped at $2,500. And employers actually invest $1.75 on top of every dollar provided by the state. SciTech's mission is to build and retain Minnesota's STEM workforce, and this program works. Since 2012, SciTech has connected nearly 2,100 students to internships. These are well-paying jobs in high-demand industries, including technology, engineering, medical devices, and manufacturing, and the average pay is $18 an hour. 30% of internships have been in greater Minnesota, with more than 80% of SciTech interns staying in Minnesota after graduation. While Minnesota needs to retain all of its STEM talent, we do focus our recruiting on women and students of color who are both underrepresented in STEM fields, In 2021, 61% of applicants and more than half of our hires, 52%, have been women and students of color. SciTech is only open to small Minnesota companies with fewer than 250 employees worldwide. And while the cap is at 250, last year, 73% of hiring companies had 50 employees or fewer, and the median size, which is 21 employees. The true impact of SciTech is best shared by those who have benefited from the program, and we've invited three guests to share their stories, beginning with Angie Conley of Abilitech Medical. So thank you for your time and investment in SciTech.
Thank you so much, Ms. Sigmund. Ms. Conley, welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Knorr and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Angie Zavaral Conley. I'm the founder and president CEO of Abilitech Medical, which is located in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. We have seven full-time employees and 12 contract employees. We've developed an exoskeleton for the arms to help people with neuromuscular weakness to do basic activities of daily living, to eat and drink and feed yourself, but quite literally open doors. This month, we begin a 35-patient study at the University of Minnesota and Gillette Children's of muscular dystrophy patients. Additionally, we have strong partnerships with the Courage Kenny Rehabilitation Institute at Allina and Health Partners Neuroscience Center. We've won some nice awards, both for our innovation and business strategy, which include the Minnesota Cup Grand Prize and the Techni Award. And we've been recognized nationally for and cited several times as a top startup. And to Representative Haley's earlier comment, we've raised $12 million of capital. $11 million has come out of outside of the state of Minnesota. So we really view this as an opportunity and its own stimulus to our economy. We've hired 5 interns through the Minnesota SciTech program over the past 3 years, and they've been a really important part of our research and development team. They've supported computer animated design, engineering, 3D printing, software development. They've were an important part of our device building and test fixtures, which was required to enable us to list with the FDA. The SciTech program allowed us to really recruit top and diverse talent and provided a great value for our company at an affordable rate. We are an early startup and have appreciated this support tremendously. And in turn, I also view this as an opportunity for the interns. Our interns have gone on to get valuable experience from Abilitech and continued their work at Medtronic, at Tesla, which has a facility in Brooklyn Park, and many other Minnesota companies. I strongly believe and support the SciTech program. It's an important part of the Minnesota ecosystem, supporting companies, universities, and students who are eager to gain valuable work experience. And I'd ask you to renew this funding for an important program that has made valuable contributions to Abilitech, business, education, and our economy. So thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you so much for your testimony and your contribution to the state of Minnesota. So I do have Mr. Ajagbusi. If I said it incorrectly, please let me know. Introduce yourself for the record and please proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Daniel Ajagbusi. I'll be graduating the University of Minnesota Twin Cities with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering in the fall of 2021. I act as the current chair for the university's branch of Institution of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and I'm a board member of the university's branch of the National Society of Black Engineers. When I discovered the SciTech program in my freshman year, I was able to join because I had accrued college credit while I was in high school. All of my attempts to find an internship for the summer up until this point were unsuccessful. Having nearly applied to every relevant position on Handshake, a platform the university uses to match students with employers, I was beginning to lose hope. Upon discovering the SciTech program, I found places to apply that I wouldn't have otherwise known were hiring. Because SciTech primarily works with smaller companies, It's a lot easier and more manageable for people who are new to job hunting. In my time with the program, I've completed two internships, the first one being at Abamath, and the second one being with Abilitech Medical. For this position, I was primarily in charge of watching the machines while they stress tested the armatures, but I was able to help out in a handful of other ways, such as suggesting modifications for several tests, compiling document reports, and I was able to use some of the skills that I've been developing in class to automate some of their systems. I'm thankful that my early work experience was with a small company because being brand new to industry can be overwhelming. In many ways, schools prepared us for life after graduation, but in a lot of other ways, it hasn't. I don't think anything can truly be equal to the experience of having an internship, especially when you're given the freedom to decide what best way to tackle any given problem. You get truly invested and you do your best work when you have that freedom. And all of my internships from SciTech or from the SciTech program have allowed me to this such autonomy. I think especially now the program is extremely beneficial. Getting an internship is a lot harder than it used to be. I've seen a lot of my peers lose their internships at big name companies because of everything that's happened these last couple of months. But they were still able to find work because of the SciTech program. It's for this reason that I believe it's extremely beneficial to all students that partake in it. I urge for the funding of the SciTech program to continue because it allows more chances for students to find internships. This program has allowed me to challenge myself and help others and build crucial workplace skills while doing something I'm passionate about. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate all your successes and looking forward to see what you will be able to accomplish. The next person is Ms. Rios. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tatum Rios. In 2019, I graduated from Inverhills Community College with Associate of Science degrees in Chemistry and Engineering Fundamentals. However, my strong desire to learn led me to transfer to the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, where I'm now studying for my Bachelor of Chemical Engineering with a minor in Computer Science. I first heard about the SciTech internship program at an engineering club meeting at Inverhills Community College in the fall of 2018. After learning about the great benefits of the program, I decided to sign up. I wasn't actually looking for an internship at the time I registered for the program, but I wanted to have my profile complete when I was ready to begin my search. One day, I received an email from Brianna Murphy, who was my former supervisor at Innovative Surface Technologies, and she offered me an interview for an analytical chemistry and quality assurance internship position. I thought, well, why not? I don't have much to lose, and I went in for an interview. I was offered the position. I was really happy, but I was also quite surprised. I was 18 at the time and wasn't actually fully confident in my own abilities. However, Bree saw something in me that I did not see myself, and I'm forever thankful for that. This internship changed my life. It gave me the reassurance that I was capable of becoming a successful scientist and engineer. Throughout my time at IcerTech, I have learned a lot, and I have gained an incredible amount of confidence in my own abilities. I have been able to accomplish things that I never thought I would be able to. Because IcerTech is a small company, I was put in a hands-on environment where I was surrounded by people who believed in me and most importantly, trusted me. During my first internship, I analyzed coating solutions and solid reagents for quality control using various laboratory techniques. I developed a new quality analysis method and I got to assist in quality investigations. During my second internship, which is my current internship at IcerTech, I get to formulate experimental batches of coating solutions, dip coat and friction test substrates, and work with a pipetting robot to coat cell culture plates. My internship experience is what helped me decide to pursue chemical engineering. I'll admit, there was a time when I didn't even think I was capable of becoming an engineer, and this stemmed from the fact that I'm a minority first-generation college student, and I didn't believe that I fit in. I didn't grow up with STEM influence in my life, therefore I didn't have anyone encouraging me to pursue it. However, someone who positively influenced me was my IcerTech supervisor, Brianna Murphy. Having a successful female scientist believe in me and my abilities changed the way that I perceived myself. I learned that I could achieve anything that I put my mind to, and I was meant to be an engineer and scientist. I can't express enough how grateful I am to have gotten my first internship with ICER Tech, and that's all thanks to the SciTech internship program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Rios. We believe in you and the work you do, especially when it comes to computer science members. As you know, my background is computer science. It's something that I value. It's the new future that we're in. Opportunities like this through SciTech and also with the seal of approval from the Minnesota Technology Association, as you've had from the president, Mr. Tollefson. This is an incredible program. I had the opportunity to virtually visit with the students and the employers and to see what they've been doing over the summer before even the session began. They're truly doing a great program, and I've had an opportunity to refer some young people who are looking for technology assignments or internship, and the program and the quality is excellent. So with that, I wanted to open up for any discussions from members or questions. Representative Frankie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Katiza Watun, for bringing this bill forward. One of my questions, so from looking at the bill, is this money only available to the company while the student or intern is in school?
I can answer
Ms. Sickmeyer, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's yes, the program is open to current students. They can remain in the program until they graduate and then stay in the program through that summer.
Representative Frankie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that answer. I guess then that would lead me to another question, Mr. Chair, and I'm not sure who would be best to answer this. Well, all of these schools must be Minnesota schools that they are hired from?
Ms. Sickmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Frankie. All of the students either attend school in Minnesota, or if they are Minnesotans who go to school out of state, we want them to come back and do their internships in Minnesota as well.
Representative Frankie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that clarification. I guess just reading this bill, Mr. Chair and members, I'll just make a brief statement. When we talk about retaining and bringing in talent into Minnesota, I think something to think about going forward in this virtual world is somehow putting that parameter into legislation, because we want that talent to stay within our system and contribute to this economy. So that was just an observation. I was noticing that, you know, not specific to this bill, but something that we should all think about going forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much. Any other discussion before we go to the closing statement? See none. I just wanted to appreciate everyone who came before us to testify for all the bills, including this bill. Looking forward to supporting the SciTech, the program that they do. So with that, Representative Cortez Otun, your closing remarks and renew your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to all the testifiers today. I'm so proud of all the good work that Abilitech and the other companies are doing here in Eden Prairie, and the work that Mr. Tollefson is doing with MinTech. And so thank you so much for sharing your experiences, Mr. Agabusi and Ms. Rios. We do believe in you. I'm so impressed with the work that you have accomplished thus far. Imposter syndrome is real, and I'm so glad that you were able to see yourself achieving the dreams and the things that you have set out to do, and that this program has been a positive impact on your life. And I see you accomplishing a lot of good things here in Minnesota in the years to come. Members, I appreciate your support. Mr. Chair, I would renew my motion that House File 2020 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Well said. So with that, members, we don't have any other agenda items before us, so the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.